Our Old Testament reading this morning will be taken from Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah. We've been hearing a little bit of Isaiah all through Advent, not only in our readings, but also in the lighting of the Advent candle. But now we'll be reading from chapter 61 of Isaiah, verses 1 through 4, and then we'll read verses 8 through 11. It is found on page 641 of your pew Bibles. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good tidings to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. But you shall be called the priest of, verse 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns himself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Our epistle reading comes from 1 Thessalonians. We'll be reading from chapter 5, verses 6 through 24. It is found on page 1031 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to the Lord's word to us by way of the Apostle Paul. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we wake or sleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. But we beseech you, brethren, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we exhort you, brethren, admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophesying, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly, And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful and will do it. And our gospel reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 1 of John's Gospel, verses 6 through 8, and then we'll drop down to read 19 through 28, and it is found on page 922 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed, he did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." And they said to him, "Then who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This took place in Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord. The African-American community in Springfield, Missouri, where I grew up, was not very large. Most of the families knew each other and lived in the same part of town, attended the same churches and schools, participated in the same social functions, so we all knew each other for the most part, intermarried with each other. But when I was growing up, it wasn't unusual to be asked by an older member of the community when they saw you in public, "Who are you?" They wanted to know the name so that they could recognize the family. And because my father was not from Springfield, when I told them my name, Barge, they often didn't recognize the name, and so they would inquire further, who are your grandparents? Who are your people?" And I would tell them, and then they would say, "Oh, okay, I know who you are. I know your mom is one of the Candy Sisters, right?" And I would say, "Yes, that's who I am." We all have ways of identifying ourselves, ways of telling the world who we are. Sometimes we identify ourselves by our family names. Sometimes we identify ourselves by what we do. Sometimes we identify ourselves by where we are from. That's the way I used to identify myself when I first got here. I'm from Missouri. I'm not from Philadelphia. Sometimes we identify ourselves by where we're at. That's how I identify myself now. I'm a Philadelphian. I'm a full-blown Philadelphian now. But we have various ways of identifying ourselves, and we have various ways of identifying ourselves in the church, too. We have names that seek to distinguish us from other Christians. Old denominational names like Presbyterian, or Methodists, or Baptists, but also other names, names which have become much more important of late, names like evangelical or Pentecostal or liberal or conservative, names that say much more about us than they say about God. But who are you? Who are you this morning? Who are we? Who are we called to be as God's people? In our gospel reading this morning, John the Baptist is asked that very question. Some religious leaders have come from Jerusalem, and they've heard a little bit about John, about what he's been doing down by the Jordan River, and they come to question him. Who are you? Who do you think you are? You and I, of course, have already been told who John is. John is a witness. He is one who has been sent by God to testify as to the truth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the religious leaders don't know that yet, and so they come and ask him, "Who are you?" And it's interesting, I think, that John doesn't tell them who he is. In fact, he tells them who he is not. He says, "I am not the Messiah." I want you to know that first and foremost, I am not the one that everyone has been waiting for. Apparently, there were some people early on who believed that maybe John the Baptist was the Christ, the Messiah, because almost all of the gospel writers are careful to record the fact that John emphatically denies that he is the Christ. And so he does so here right off the bat. I am not the Christ. I am not the one. Neither am I the prophet that Moses told about, nor am I Elijah. I am neither of those. In fact, John seems to indicate that he's not much of anybody in the large scheme of things. John wants everyone to know that this great drama that is about to unfold is not about him at all. It is about God. It's what God is getting ready to do. It's about the light that is about to shine and break open into the world. And so John says, this is not about me. I am not the Christ, nor am I the prophet. But the religious leaders don't want to know who John is not. They want to know who he is. You have to be somebody. Everybody's somebody. If you're not the Christ, if you're not the prophet, if you are not Elijah, then just who are you? Who are you? Who do you think that you are? And I find it interesting that John doesn't answer that the way I would have answered it. He doesn't say, look, I'm Zechariah and Elizabeth's son. He doesn't say, I come from a long line of priests. He doesn't say, I'm a baptizer. I've been sent to baptize. He doesn't say any of that. Instead, he identifies himself by quoting scripture. The prophet Isaiah that we read a few weeks ago. I am the voice, he said, of one who is crying in the wilderness. I am the one who is sent to get things ready, to make the crooked places straight. If you want to know who I am, that's who I am. It's John's way of saying that this is not about me. This is about God. This story is God's story, and my job is to point to what God is doing, to point away from myself and to point to what God is doing. This is the third Sunday in Advent, and we are still waiting. Christmas is almost here. I realize that in much of the world out there, people have already started celebrating Christmas. Christmas songs are being sung. Christmas carols are being sung. But we're still waiting. And I think part of the reason the lectionary has us read about John the Baptist in preparation for Christmas is it wants us to understand fully who we are. Who we are called to be as the church, as God's people, as the body of Christ. You see, like John the Baptist, we too are witnesses. We too are people who have been sent by God to testify to the truth, to bear witness to the truth, to bear witness to the light, the true light that is breaking into our world, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light that we are called to point to. But who are we? Who are we supposed to be? Yes, we are witnesses, but what does that mean? What does it mean to bear witness and to testify to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his coming into our world? An essay that I read this week that sort of stimulated my thinking was an essay by Martha Spong, who is a pastor and academic. And she noted that we often label one another with our ready-made labels in the church. We often assign labels to each other to differentiate ourselves from other Christians. I heard that just the other day on TV, talking about Christians and evangelical Christians and mainline Christians and other kind of Christians. And the commentator was just wanting to know, what does it mean to be a Christian? What's the difference between all of these various labels? Who are we? Who are we called to be? And Martha Spong wondered, what if instead of identifying ourselves by our ready-made labels, what if we did what John the Baptist did? What if we grounded our identity in Scripture the same way that John does? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. What if we did that too? What if we grounded our identity in a passage of Scripture that gave us meaning and direction and purpose? Maybe some of you do that already. I know when I was young, I did that. I had a particular Scripture that I liked and that guided me, gave me a sense of purpose. I liked the Sermon on the Mount, especially the part that says, blessed are the peacemakers. And so when I was young, I resolved that that's what I would be. I would be a peacemaker. I could do that. If I couldn't do anything else, maybe I could be a peacemaker. So when I was a teenager, I set about trying to be that peacemaker. But it wasn't easy. In fact, sometimes it was difficult. I'd find myself in the middle of fights trying to break fights up. And I remember one time in gym class, I was trying to break up a fight between two people, a physical altercation. And to make a long story short, when it was over, the two belligerents left relatively unscathed, and I was the one who left with the black eye. I tried to break them up right as someone was about ready to throw a punch. And I remember thinking to myself how awkward it was and ironic it was, but at least everyone knew who I was. I was the numbskull who tried to break up a fight. Needless to say, I found myself another Scripture that would guide me and lead me. And the Scripture I found was the one that I used when I became ordained, well, when I became a candidate for the Presbyterian Church. It's the one that Jesus himself used in Luke's Gospel when he gave his trial sermon, the passage from Isaiah that we read earlier, Isaiah 61, about the Spirit of the Lord being upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has sent me to bring good tidings. Good tidings to the brokenhearted. This year, people are brokenhearted during this time of year. There are lots of people who are brokenhearted. Good tidings to those who are captive, who are in prison. There are people who are imprisoned and held captive by all kinds of things, by drug abuse, by alcoholism. Some people are held captive by spousal abuse. Some people are physically imprisoned. I wanted to bring good news, good tidings. And good news, of course, to the poor. But I found out that being that kind of witness is no easier than being a peacemaker. No one wants a genuine witness. No one necessarily wants to hear the truth about what God plans for the world. And so it's been difficult to be guided and grounded by that identity too, and yet we are reminded that it is not about us. It's not about who we are and what we want. It is about what God is doing and what God is planning for the world. In Martha Spong's essay, she talks about friends of hers who she has known, friends who have grounded their life in Scripture too and have found their identities in Scripture. And she talks about some of those friends. She said, in recent months, from the safety of my home in South Central Pennsylvania, I have watched the Facebook live streaming videos shared by clergy friends protesting for economic justice in cities across the United States. I admire them, I worry about them, and I pray for them without ceasing. While writing this essay, I had an eye on a live video hoping to see a friend get out of jail after her arrest at a peaceful protest in St. Louis. I have checked and rechecked her Twitter feed for updates. I picture her in jail without her phone, or released with the battery drained dead overnight. I have to believe that if I ask her who she is, she would know the scripture that direct her and keep her going. Who are you? What is it that keeps you going this morning? What is it about your life that people could see and say, I know who they are. I know who you are. I can tell by your actions that you do not live for yourself, but that your life is deeply grounded in the Word of God. Who are you this morning that people can see? We're reminded that the word witness in the Greek means martyr. It's where we get our English word martyr. And we all know what a martyr is. A martyr is someone who is willing to give up their own life for the sake of what they believe. John the Baptist was the witness who pointed towards Jesus. And the Jesus that he pointed to was not just the coming one, but the Jesus who would be the light of the world and the light that would give his life for the sake of the world. And John the Baptist wanted all of us to know that that is the one that he is waiting for, and that is the one that he is preparing for. I am the voice crying. I am the one getting everyone ready. I am the one who is straightening out all of those crooked places that is out of alignment with the coming of the Lord. I am the witness. And indeed, John was truly a witness, truly a martyr, because John would die at the hands of the authorities for what it was he believed, in the same way that Jesus himself would give his life for the sake of the world. You and I are not necessarily called to give up our lives, our physical lives, but we are called to give up those parts of our lives that prevent us from being the faithful witnesses that we are called to be. We are called to get rid of all of those identities that betray the light that shines through us, the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And whenever our expressions of our faith lead us in the direction of hatred, whenever our expressions of faith lead us in the direction of animosity, whenever our expressions of faith lead us to look ill on other people, whenever it leads us to stop seeking reconciliation and peace and leads us down a pathway of despair, then we might ask ourselves, who are we? Are we following the Savior that we are waiting for in this season? Are we following the one who comes to show us the heart of God? I don't know who you are this morning, but I know who I am. I know that I'm someone who wants to follow the truth, someone who wants to reflect the light, someone who wants to point away from myself and point towards that which brings eternal life. And I can't say that I'm always successful in doing that, but that is what this season is about. It is a season when we are called to learn and to think about who we are. Who are you? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you someone who wants to walk in his path? Are you someone who wants to bear witness to who he is? Are you someone who's willing to give your own life, to deny yourself, and to pick up your own cross? If that's who you are, if that's what you want to be, then this season is for you. Because it's only by following the Lord Jesus Christ that our world can be healed. It's only by giving ourselves to him that our country can be healed, that our communities can be healed. It's only by allowing his light to shine through us. There are lots of people out there that will tell us that they are the light, that all we have to do is to reflect their attitudes, reflect their egos, reflect their values, and they will show us the way. They will make us great again. But if we want to be true people of healing and peace, then we are called to reflect the light that can only bring healing. And that is the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Jesus, the coming one. Who are you? Who are we? That's what this season is designed to help us to find out. Let us pray. Gracious God, we come to you this morning recognizing that you have called us to a great task. You have called us to bear witness to who you are. You have called us to point the rest of the world to what brings true healing and peace. Lord, help us to be able to testify truthfully to who you are. Help us not only to be your voice in the wilderness of our world, but help us to listen to your voice. Help us to be the people of healing and hope and joy that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord, the coming one, Jesus the Christ. Amen.